चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पदान् सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्रील प्रभुपाद की। No, please ask. Bring Hari Bol Puri Maharaj. Please. So, Prabhana. No. If we join these two together, there will be place for room for three. No. Okay. His Holiness Puri Maharaj Ki. Hare Krishna Maharaj. His Holiness Puri Maharaj Ki. I was thinking that now Puri Maharaj has become so thin that him and I could have sat in this one asana. So it's very nice to be back in Phoenix and to meet you all once again. This is the first time I'm actually seeing the temple completed. And it's indeed very, very impressive. And few touch-up is needed. Anyway, we'll discuss with concerned persons, concerned individuals about that. But isn't it looking gorgeous?
Yes!
It's wonderful. And it's very satisfying also to see the temple completed. Not only completed, it looks so gorgeous. I remember when I first came to see this piece of land, Surin Ballabji Prabhu, Sundar Gopal Prabhu, actually brought me. It was quite late. It was already dark. And it looks like it's in the middle of nowhere, this piece of land. There was nothing around here. It was complete, I mean, really in the middle of nowhere. And I was wondering, why should I build a temple here? But Krishna has his wonderful plans. We have noticed wherever ISKCON builds his temple, that place becomes the heart of that city. And that's what is happening, that's what has happened here. Like, about 15 years back when I came and see that place for the first time. And the way this place has been transformed is at least was beyond my imagination. The city literally moved in this area, the whole place became such a bustling commercial center. And here our temple stands as the crest jewel of the whole city of Phoenix. And we must recognize also the wonderful contribution His Holiness Puri Maharaj made for building this temple. Puri Maharaj actually didn't have any reason to get involved here, apparently. This is not Maharaj's zone. Maharaj hardly is to come to South Africa. But he took it upon himself when he saw that you all were struggling to complete this temple. And Maharaj just came forward. And it is, I personally would feel that it is due to his initiative that the temple was finally completed and took such a beautiful shape. And I'm very happy to see how beautiful the whole thing looks. And now you all have to invite Gaur Nithai to assume their larger form. The deities, for such a big temple, the deities look rather obscure. And Gaur Nithai will manifest only when you all commit yourselves. That Gaur Nithai, please come and then we will take care of you. Prabhupada used to say that in order to install deities in a temple, we should have at least half a dozen Brahman pujaris fully committed to worship, taking care of the deities. I'm sure there are more than a few dozens of second initiated Brahmanas here. How many of you are second initiated? Please raise your hands, those who belong to the Phoenix area. Phoenix area, please don't hesitate to raise your hands. Second initiated, well. So, anyway, it will be nice if you all take it upon yourselves to take care of their worship here. I'm sure they will manifest. Or at least the authorities of South African Jatra will decide to invite them to come and become established here. Temple means deities, and for such a big temple we need deities proportionate to the size of the temple. As I mentioned earlier, that we are very fortunate to have in our midst our very dear God brother, the first South African devotee to join ISKCON and dedicate himself, His Grace Ridha Prabhu. Ridha Prabhu lives in England, in London, and he joined ISKCON as ISKCON started here in the early 70s, and he became very, very involved. He was a young boy in those days, but since then Ridha Prabhu has been a very committed devotee, very humble, very dedicated, and a real Prabhupada man. Ridha Prabhu has three sons and two daughters. They're very wonderful devotees. His children are also very. That shows how expertly he actually brought up his children. His eldest son, all of them were aspiring to take initiation from Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. The eldest one has been initiated, and other three.
Two are actually initiated.
The son and the daughter. Right, yeah. And Ridha Prabhu also was very close to Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. They had a very deep relationship. And it's very exemplary the way devotees like Ridha Prabhu brings up their children who take to Krishna consciousness in such a sincere way that even in their prime of their youth, they don't give up, they remain fixed up in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So I'll request Ridha Prabhu now to speak. His Holiness Ridha Prabhu Ki.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'd like to thank Bhakti Charu Swami for giving me the opportunity to say a few words. And this is the second time Maharaj has mentioned about the youth. And this is the most powerful and important subject matter that Maharaj has brought to the attention to South African devotees. And not only South African devotees, but devotees from all over the world who have in their midst young people growing up. Just now I'm going to be 60 years of age in a few years' time. Maharaj is our senior, he's 60 years plus. And we have so many senior Prabhupada disciples who are moving on in their life, who want to see Srila Prabhupada's mission progress when we have moved on. When we have gone, then we're dependent on the youth of ISKCON in the world. Many of you are married men, many of you are young men who could either remain single or get married at one time in your life. Or you may be part of a family situation where there are young people within your group. And it's very, very important that we understand that with Prabhupada's greater family, we are all part of a universal worldwide movement that can push on ISKCON to limits that we've never seen before. Within our lifetime, I came to South Africa after joining ISKCON in North America in 1972 as a 20-year-old boy. I have a son that's 20, and I couldn't even imagine now having to any 20-year-old to take on the responsibilities that we took on as Prabhupada disciples in the old days. And some of my godbrothers, they were left here in South Africa alone. Shuddhi Prabhu, some of them you may have heard of Shuddhi or seen Shuddhi or read about him in the books. So the responsibility that they took, my godbrothers took, was something that they didn't even expect during the apartheid regime. And Srila Prabhupada was simply sitting in his bhajan kunti in Mayapur in a hut and saying, yes, service to Lord Chaitanya, service to Lord Chaitanya, please go to Africa and make it successful. And Prabhupada told us similarly the same thing, that when you go to South Africa, my only request is that you do it nicely. And this is the result of doing it nicely. When you look here and we look around, we see so many Vaishnav devotees of the Lord. You're doing it nicely for Prabhupada. This is his perfect request, that you perform Krishna consciousness nicely. We were very rough in the early days. We made mistakes. We came from difficult backgrounds. We had plenty of excuses. But you have everything here to facilitate for you to do it nicely. You have nice spiritual masters. You have nice facility. And everything is there going for you. But we're moving on. We're getting sick. We're going on, hopefully, to be with Srila Prabhupada in the next realm. And everything is down to you. It is not down to us now. We simply have delivered as much as we can till we drop dead. We will be dependent on you when we go. And your children and my children will be left here. You will be left here to carry the mission forward. So Bhakti Charu Swami was stressing the youth. Bhakti Tirtha Swami also stressed the youth. The GBC are stressing the youth. Because without the youth embracing Srila Prabhupada's mission as he taught, and that's the most important thing, that it doesn't become adulterated the way Srila Prabhupada wanted to do things. That's the most important thing, that we don't deviate from the pure teachings of Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON, that things will carry on very nicely in the future, in another 5-10 years, when some of us are possibly 65, 70 Maharaj now. I don't know his particular age, but he must be getting on.
How old are you? 60 plus?
61. So we can't expect the sick, and Krishna is delivering Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who was like a Maharaj. He's delivering so many of his wonderful disciples. So how many more of us are going to go? Sooner or later, I don't think Prabhupada wants us to stay until we're bent over old men. He has certain plans for us. So Bhakti Charu Swami, if you look at him, he's so tired. He's been in Ujjain, he's traveling here, he's traveling to Lanesha, he's going to India. I can't even keep up with him. And I'm younger than him, just a few years. And Puri Maharaj, he's lost so much weight to continue his health so that he can serve his disciples, so that he can serve Prabhupada nicely. Now I have to also lose weight, because he's thinner than me now. So I have to join the club. And like that, we should absorb ourselves in trying to find out from Prabhupada disciples, you know, and share with them before they depart, what is your secret of success? Bhaktacharya Maharaj, he sings so sweetly. So sweetly. The other day I came from England, I was very depressed. I had such a long journey via the Middle East. And then when I sat in front of him, and he called me and I sat there on the floor. Actually, I don't want to sit up on this chair, but he's forcing me. But I sat in front of him, and I was just absorbing so much love coming from Bhaktacharya Swami. I couldn't believe it. I was just thinking, this is not Bhaktacharya Swami, this is coming from Krishna. So much love is coming through the Sampradaya, through these spiritual masters. And I was just getting healed. I was feeling actually completely devastated, but by the time Ram Navami was finished and I took a little prasadam, I went home and I was able to sleep so peacefully after my whole being was disturbed from travelling. So you can see, by taking shelter of Prabhupada disciples who are qualified, not like me, but like Maharaj, then we can actually advance in spiritual life. But he was saying in the Ram Navami lecture that it's down to the youth. And those of you who have children or planning to have children, please don't think it's a hindrance. Maybe I had too many and I had problems on the road and I couldn't deliver all five of them exactly this minute. But I do intend to give them all the opportunity and hopefully the infrastructure of ISKCON and the Gurukuli network that we have and the community that we have, such as a wonderful community in South Africa where we have a wonderful family structure, that you can offer your children to Prabhupada. Offer your children to Prabhupada as a service. Maybe we weren't so expert, but our children, believe me, if you give them the opportunity to become Krishna conscious and you encourage them to become Krishna conscious, maybe we weren't so perfect, but they, you will be surprised how much they know the philosophy more than us. Because they did not take birth in Krishna conscious families by accident. That's explained in Bhagavad Gita. That one takes birth in aristocratic or Brahmin family from previous pious credits. So my humble request is that you look at that seriously, because South Africa is in a very difficult situation, but here we have an abundance, massive abundance of qualified devotees who've had wonderful association and who want to have first-class spiritual life in their families. So what other better way is to offer your children as a sacrifice to Srila Prabhupada so that that mission can continue. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
This is the last time I'm coming to see you. That's why I stayed at the back, because I wanted to hear you. He's a nice person anyway, you know. That's why I came. But you can go off people, you know. Omagyana tumaram nesadaranyana salakaya shakshurumritam jena tasmai sigrave namaha makam guruti vachanam vangam nangayate gram tyatkripatamaham vande sigrandinataranam amso bhagavato smiham sadadaso smi samrta yatkripapekshiko nicham tatvistasatkaromi svam radasamakrisham chaktam shakasanganavasanam tamam satatam vande madhavasaya vignaham bhakti siddhanta sishaya bhakti vedanta namane prasamnaya prasantaya tasmai shri gurave namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shri vasadi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare oh krishna chaitanya mahaprabhu goranga thank you. Thank you, Maharaj. I don't know what to say. Some of the points that Radha Prabhu was making. Yes. There is energy in the youth. There's ability, this quality, this qualification. There has to be utilized. They don't cry in the spiritual sky. And if we do not tap into that energy, then how will this movement continue? Of course it will continue because so many books are out there, but if we don't use what we have, the resources we have in the service of Prabhupada, Parampara and the Lord, then it actually means that we're a failure. Excuse me for being negative, but how to work together to provide facility, but also how to understand the youth and their needs, because very often they're not going to be what we want them to be. Because I have to say that I'm not quite what I wanted to be neither. And I can quite assure you, my mother doesn't think I'm what she wanted me to be neither. But we also, I think, I've talked to some devotees, you know, just opening up hearts and minds a little bit. We all, a lot of us came with, to the movement with certain thoughts, ideas, preconceived ideas. We look at certain devotees as role models and such like. And we expected certain things. I expected after, you know, 30 odd years in the movement, that'd be a bit more together than this, you know. That wouldn't have been up in Himalayas, you know, trying to slim down, trim down, and end up in South Africa, you know, taking a break. I thought I was going to be a, you know, Superman with a capital S by this time, you know. So I'm not what I expected to be, and I also tried to bring up a family and had certain preconceived ideas which was wrong, expecting son and daughter to be something. I also felt that in itself maybe hindered their ability to move forward naturally with the ability they've got. So I have also been thinking for some time how to encourage rather than make expectations. We can expect that they're going to do something, the youth or people are going to do something, but how to encourage it? How to allow it to develop? You know? And because that is a necessity. How to see what is there within them. How to actually allow that to come out rather than stand in front of it. And it's just like when you're on the street distributing books. One of the prayers we generally have is, dear Lord, please use me as your transparent via media so that my false ego or me trying to be something doesn't stop these jivas from actually serving. Because very often on the street you can act in particular ways, you know, because of the surroundings, but you're always wanting to be used rather than to try to be something. So how to allow other living entities to be used by the Lord, or to use their ability in the service of the Lord, is very important. And I've always thought, well, unless we do something with the youth, then I feel useless. And I read the Prabhu was saying, you know, we're getting on in years, you know. Maharaj always looks pretty much Navayovana to me, you know, always looks pretty fresh. I was never Yovana. Yeah. I was old age before I started, you know. But, and we look at a lot of the congregation, the Matajis and the Bapujis, you know, they're getting on a bit, right? We're not out the front playing cricket or soccer any longer, right? You know, things are, the body's telling us that, you know, the end's coming, right? You know, we're needing a few spare parts that you can't get in the material world, right? A bit like old cars, right? So we need to do something to, you know, to somehow or another open up that the youth can come forward and step forward. And that's why we try to develop the youth evening here, that they do everything, you know, to develop. But not necessarily the way we would have it. Because, I mean, I like to look upon the fact that I'm a born-again Hare Krishna, you know. I'm gung-ho, you know. And a lot of the children, they were brought up in Krishna consciousness, so they look at it differently. They actually look at it differently. And some of the younger ones around have been around for many years, so they've got an acceptance of Krishna consciousness, you know. I had one nice experience that because I've been trying to worship Shalagram for about 27 years or so, and that was part of our family focus. So one time, just about 15 or 16 years ago, I was sitting looking at my deities, and my daughter came, and I looked at her and I said, "Hey, Kunti," and I pointed to the Shalagrams and I said, "Do you really believe that that's God?" You know, I was giving her the opportunity to open up. "Do you really believe that that's the Supreme Lord?" She looked at me with disgust. "Pete, why are you asking such a stupid question? How can you say such a thing?" That's why I just thought maybe you didn't believe. Has something gone wrong with you? It encouraged me that actually, yeah, it's just, it's obvious it's God, isn't it? And when you hear them talking to other people about these things, and sometimes the youth, they don't step forward and preach. But I also had a nice experience at one festival we had. There was two Christian gentlemen outside standing at the door trying to stop people from coming into the Hare Krishna festival and giving them leaflets and telling them, you know, they're from the devil, these Hare Krishnas. And I went out and said to the guy, "Would you like to move on? Please, thank you very much." And it's our right to be here, you know. So I thought, oh boy. So then a couple of the kids went out and they started talking with them. Backwards and forwards. You know? And eventually, just due to the discussion, these two guys just went away. And I was thinking, oh, what done it? Because he tried to preach to them and they thought it was just a waste of time. But they just had a natural positive inclination towards Krishna consciousness. And they just weren't interested in what these people were trying to present and all the faults they were trying to find. Because they naturally just accepted Krishna consciousness. And they spoke very prominently, very positively, and very straightforwardly. That these men, they were in their 40s, they just, oh, okay, and they just moved on. And I was thinking, there's a certain potency that's there in that deeper belief. They weren't trying to defeat someone. They just had, wow, what else is there but our Krishna consciousness, you know? And sometimes we don't see that in amongst the younger people. Because we're trying to paint certain pictures that we want to see rather than development. And I know as a manager, or so-called manager, and I'm going to write a book, there was that book called The 1 Minute Manager. I'm going to write a new book called The 30-Year Mismanagement. So, what we expected from people. So that our communities are getting bigger and we're seeing a lot of young faces. And just the fact that there's young faces here means we have a responsibility. And I like that word responsibility because I think, what does responsibility mean? We want them to take responsibility for Prabhupada's mission. But we have to respond. Are we able to respond to them? Because responsible means the ability to respond to what Prabhupada wanted, what's needed. But we have to be able to respond to what the youth need and what their abilities are too. Because I know that I'm not what my children expected me to be. And I'm not what a lot of people expected me to be. I'm not what I expected to be. Because as we go on in Krishna consciousness, you know, it's self-realization. And, I'm not the man I thought I was. You know? Because it's easy to see others, right? Someone else's realization is easy. We're always good at realizing someone else and their inabilities, but our own. And then I think, well, how many mistakes have I made in expecting things from people? Yeah, don't worry, you're okay this afternoon, you're safe, I'm not going to expect your money, right? He usually does. No, don't worry. But they gave me the right name, Puri. Puffed up, fried. So, it's a thought that's in me too. What about the youth? You know? And very often, my grandmother used to say, if you associate with the youth, you stay youthful. You know? Rather than becoming demented, you know? Because there's more action there. So, please, we're all youthful in one sense, aren't we? Eternal. Jiva. So please, think what you can offer, no matter what age you are. Yeah. And they have an old expression, life begins at 40. So that means I'm still a teenager, actually. So, please, you think, well, how can you respond to Prabhupada's call to take Lord Chaitanya's mission and spread it in the way that you can? And how can we be of assistance and service to you? But if you don't tell us, we're not going to guess. We're going to go ahead and do what we think we can. And as seen in management, that's part of a problem. People expect something from the manager, but he can only manage if there's people who will be managed. So what can you offer? Come forward and offer, so that we know who you are and what you can do. And don't let us second guess and make more mistakes. We'll present things, but if it's not what you want, it's not what you're going to do, let us know who you are. Let us know what you want, what you think. But you might not get what you want the same as we don't. But if we can learn to work together and learn to know one another and what we can offer, then we can go forward together. But I thank you for everything you have done. And in a few weeks' time, I'm hoping I can thank you for a bit more that you're going to do. But you also have the same right to expect something from me. But let's get to know each other and see what we can do. And this whole situation was for the family that prays together, it stays together. So this is our family center. Everyone can come. We're all Krishna's family. We're all Prabhupada's family. So let us work together in the way that we can. I thank you, and please, whatever I said or done this may cause difficulty or disturbance for you, please forgive me, and I promise I'll try my best not to do it again, but don't be surprised if it happens again, you know. I'm not very humble, am I? I never was, you know. I hold on to a few excuses, you know. Like Radha Prabhu was saying, we have our excuses, we came from rough backgrounds. When you come from Scotland, you know. They say there's one good thing in Scotland, you know what it is? That's the road coming out of it. There's only one good thing in Scotland, and that was Prabhupada. You know? And still people who came to Prabhupada's festival in Glasgow, we had a festival in Glasgow just a few years ago, and an old lady came running forward. I mean, she looked like she was ready just to fall apart at the seams. She was finished. And she was so delighted to tell me, I was here when your guru was here. I seen him. I heard him speak. I couldn't understand a word he said, but he was so nice. So I've come again. You know, they're just delighted to have been with Prabhupada. And one other man, he comes every so often to the temple, and he's Scottish through and through, so that usually means he's intoxicated. And he always comes and says, is there a Brahmin that I can talk to, please? I want to speak to a Brahmin. Because they've got intelligence. And he always tells the story of when he went to Bari Place, and Srila Prabhupada was there, and Srila Prabhupada said, any questions? And he said, so we asked a question. He said, everything can be used in Krishna's service, he said. What about an alcoholic? So Prabhupada, he said, how can you see Krishna in alcohol? Prabhupada said, Krishna is the taste in water, so Krishna is the taste in everything. So he says, if you think Krishna is the taste in wine, he says, so ever since then, I've always said, Krishna is the taste in whiskey. And he says, and I always remember it. I said, oh, we can see that, you know. I said, that is your excuse for not giving up. He says, I'm waiting on it giving me up. Yeah. So he always remembers that Prabhupada said that Krishna was the taste in wine for the alcoholics. And he says, I always remember that. Oh, yeah. Krishna's the taste in whiskey. There's a taste in vodka as well when I can't get the whiskey. But when you think about someone in that condition, then he remembers that one thing that Prabhupada told him. And he always finishes, before he goes away, he always says, he was a great man. Srila Prabhupada was a great man. And it's true. The greatest man. So he's given us all something. Can you take part of that gift? Make it grow. Take advantage of it and offer something to him and his mission to help it to grow. You've got youth. You've got time. You've got energy. Force our hand also so that we've got to serve more and see more. Thank you very much. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Vaishnava Sangha Ki Jai, Gauranga Nitai Ki Jai Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. I was wondering, after such a wonderful performance and speech, I'll probably sound such a disappointment.
You've got a streak of humility already.
Two things are of prime importance for the expansion and sustenance of our movement . As Rita Prabhu pointed out, our youth, which actually means the next generation, our concern should be our successes. And the other concern or consideration is our relationship, the relationship among the devotees of ISKCON. Our success actually lies in these two aspects. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna pointed out that this knowledge, this process of Krishna consciousness flows through the disciplic succession. Spiritual master imparts the knowledge to the disciples, and the disciples in turn become the spiritual masters and impart the knowledge to their disciples, and in this way this movement continues and is continuing since time immemorial. Srila Prabhupada within a very short time, within just 10 years' time, spread this movement all over the world. He made thousands of disciples. He inspired millions of people to take to Krishna consciousness. As Maharaj was mentioning about that old lady, she was inspired by Srila Prabhupada. Even that drunkard, these other people, although they haven't become disciples, did not take to Krishna consciousness in a serious way, did not commit themselves completely to the process, but they have been influenced by Srila Prabhupada. And who knows how Krishna will respond to their sincerity. Who knows? Like, maybe at the time of death, that old lady may think of Srila Prabhupada and go back to Godhead. The potency of a spiritual personality, the potency of a pure devotee is inconceivable. There is no way of knowing how the influence of a pure devotee works. So, the influence, that the impact that Srila Prabhupada left behind is immeasurable, is inconceivable. And Srila Prabhupada passed on to, Prabhupada imparted the knowledge to his disciples, his devotees, his followers, who in turn are spreading this movement today. And in spite of so many difficulties, this movement is expanding, is growing. Prabhupada himself said before he left the planet, once he was mentioning that when an acharya leaves the planet, there is bound to be crisis. I thought Prabhupada is just mentioning that, but that won't happen in ISKCON. Even after the way Prabhupada structured ISKCON, and I was seeing there's so many competent devotees, dedicated followers, expert organizers and managers there in the helm of the movement, this movement will continue unhindered even after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. But in course of time I saw, and then I began to think, an acharya like Srila Prabhupada left the planet, and how can we expect that there won't be any crisis? There had been many, many crises after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, and still the movement is facing many crises. But ISKCON is going on. In its own way, ISKCON is growing, ISKCON is expanding. And this is a remarkable achievement. Srila Prabhupada left the planet, there is bound to be crisis, but in spite of the crisis, this movement is going on. And it is going on because of Srila Prabhupada's wonderful arrangement. Although Srila Prabhupada warned us that there would be crisis, but Prabhupada also reminded us that if we follow what he gave, the instructions that he gave, then we will be able to overcome those crises. Srila Prabhupada pointed out that his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, created a perfect spiritual institution. But unfortunately, after his disappearance, when his followers failed or did not follow his instructions, that institution fell apart. And Srila Prabhupada told us, don't make the same mistake that my godbrothers made after Guru Maharaj's disappearance. And what was that instruction, and what was the instruction that Srila Prabhupada considered to be so important? That is, he pointed out that the institution must continue with our collective endeavor. And in order to point that out, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. And this is the key to ISKCON's success. We have been asked to show our love for Srila Prabhupada through our cooperation. And if we cooperate, if we act collectively to maintain and expand the movement that Srila Prabhupada gave, this movement will grow. This movement will continue to achieve what this movement has been designed by Srila Prabhupada. This movement has been exclusively designed to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, in every town and village, in order to fulfill the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In order to maintain this movement, Srila Prabhupada gave a very wonderful formula for collective management, and that is through his establishment of the system called the governing body. That is actually the sign of the collective management. And Srila Prabhupada told, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually gave that system. He wanted his institution, Gaudiya Math, should be maintained after his disappearance through this collective management through GBC. But unfortunately, some of his followers, leading followers, thought, how can a spiritual institution be managed or be continued, spiritual institution be established and managed by a group of managers? They felt that it needs an acharya. And that was the mistake they made. They appointed an acharya disregarding the instruction of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the result is the institution disintegrated. But in ISKCON, according to Srila Prabhupada's instruction, the institution is being managed by a system of collective management. Now, in order to maintain this collective management, there is another consideration that Srila Prabhupada did not so emphatically point out, and that is the position of Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya. To maintain a structure, we need these two aspects: the head of the institution and the executive committee, which will continue to manage the society according to the instructions of that head of the institution. So when you speak about GBC, we also have to consider, or when you consider the collective management, we also have to consider the head of the institution, the position of Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya. As a result of maintaining these or following these instructions, we are seeing how ISKCON is growing. Once a very important person, he is one of the richest persons, or richest family you can say, he's an Indian, Mr. Srichad Hinduja, who's very close to our temple, very close to ISKCON. Once he told me about how brilliant Srila Prabhupada's managerial expertise was. And he was telling that generally the spiritual institutions fall apart after the disappearance of the founder of that institution. It happened, he pointed out, so many institutions actually fell apart when their founder left their bodies. But that didn't happen with ISKCON. And he said, he pointed out that it is because the way Srila Prabhupada structured ISKCON. And we saw many leading devotees had spiritual difficulties. They even defected, they left the movement, went away. Caused some damage, but it did not cause a total disintegration of the society and the institution. These happenings are unfortunate, but ISKCON is still going strong. Why? Because the structure of ISKCON was not depending upon those individuals. They were just a part of a big arrangement, collective management. Okay, they left. Others came and filled up the void. And in this way, ISKCON's future has been so wonderfully secured by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, we have to always remember that our strength actually lies in our unity. The more we become united, the stronger our society will become. And what is the criteria for unity? What actually brings us together and holds us together? It's a force. Love. Often we make a mistake. We think that we are meant to love Krishna and hate everybody else. Well, I was a little too dramatic about that. but that shouldn't be the reason. But it shouldn't be like that. Love for Krishna means love for everyone. Love for Krishna will be displayed through our love for his parts and parcels as well. Srila Prabhupada used to use an expression, "You love me, you love my dog." We can't say we love Krishna, but we don't love Krishna's parts and parcels. And actually, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the Hare Krishna movement, the Sankirtan Yajna, Harinam Sankirtan movement, is based on that love. It's that love for Krishna which is reflected on others in different ways. Our love for Krishna is reflected onto the devotees of Krishna in the form of friendship. Our love for Krishna is reflected onto the innocents in the form of compassion. Our love for Krishna even is reflected on the offenders in the form of disregard. And that is the foundation on which we function as preachers. Yes, we love Krishna. Then how we are going to reciprocate to the devotees of Krishna? Those who love Krishna, what would be the natural reciprocation with them? What is our responsibility towards them, as Maharaj pointed out? The ability to respond to them. What is our responsibility towards those who also love Krishna? In the form of friendship. You love Krishna, I love Krishna, so we are friends. Don't you see that in the mundane world? You love golf, I love golf, so we are friends. You love tennis, I love tennis, we are friends. You love cricket, you love rugby. So similarly, when we have a common object of love, it naturally breeds friendship, naturally develops in friendship. So within ISKCON we must create a very wonderful, friendly atmosphere. It has to be genuine. Talks are easy, but we have to display it with our sincere practice. And there comes, it is difficult actually to cooperate. It is difficult to cooperate. Cooperate, function together. The tendency actually is lord over. I'm the boss and you're my subordinate. You must listen to me. Don't you know who I am? That is a natural, materialistic attitude. Now let us consider what is the spiritual counterpart of that attitude. It must be diametrically opposed. So what is the natural spiritual response? The natural spiritual response is, how can I serve you? While in the material nature everyone is saying, how can I lord over you? Not saying, they are planning. How can I let everybody suddenly become my subordinate? How can I lord over everybody? The spiritual counterpart to that is, how can I serve you? And that is why the foundation of our spiritual attitude is our humble disposition. More humble than a blade of grass. And that automatically leads to the loving reciprocation. Now what is the loving reciprocation? What is the natural tendency of love, sacrifice? So our movement is actually based on sacrifice. Spiritual life is based on sacrifice. Sacrifice doesn't mean just putting some grains on the fire sacrifice. Sacrifice means offering something that I have and others need. Instead of using it for my sake, I offer it to somebody whose need is greater than mine. That is what sacrifice is. In the material nature, what goes on in the name of love, it doesn't demand any sacrifice, or it doesn't display any sacrifice, generally. Instead of sacrifice, what happens? In the name of love, what goes on? In the name of love, worst exploitation goes on. In the material nature. Oftentimes, when somebody says, I love you, it actually means, no, I want to exploit you. I want to exploit you for my sense gratification. Now let us consider, Prabhupada said, in the material nature, One relationship, one loving relationship that comes very close to the spiritual love. What is that? Mother's love for the child. Now let us see what mother does. Mother makes all kinds of sacrifice. Isn't it? She is prepared to offer herself. She is prepared to die out of starvation, but offer the food to her child. So we have to understand, we have to recognize that spiritual relationship is based on sacrifice. Because spiritual relationships are based on love. What can I do for you? What can I offer you? How can I serve you? That is the foundation of a spiritual relationship. And when we do that, it naturally creates an environment that becomes very pleasing. And that is the spiritual atmosphere. So the more we develop this loving relationship, the more our movement will grow. When we display our friendship among our fellow devotees, our movement will grow. When we display our love for the innocent ones, those who did not receive Krishna consciousness as yet, due to their ignorance, due to them not being exposed to Krishna consciousness, we display our compassion in the form of telling them who is Krishna. We remind them about their lost relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we show them the way how to become situated in that relationship again. When you take them by their hands and lead them to the lotus feet of Krishna's purest representative, Srila Prabhupada, that is the display of our compassion. And with that mood, we should preach. And those who are offenders, we don't hate them, no matter whatever they do, but we avoid them. Why? Because the more we deal with them, more offensive they will become towards Krishna. That's why we let them alone and pray to Krishna, Krishna, please bestow your mercy upon them, so that they also can come to your lotus feet. So this is the attitude of a Madhyamadhikari devotee. And ISKCON is a preaching mission, preaching movement. Therefore ISKCON's attitude is the attitude of Madhyamadhikari devotee. Ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu brisatsucha prema maitri kripa upekha ja karoti sa madhyama. One who has love for Krishna, friendship for Krishna's devotees, compassion for the innocents, and disregard for the offenders, he is a Madhyamadhikari. And Madhyamadhikari devotee preaches. Uttamadhikari devotee doesn't preach. In order to preach, Uttamadhikari devotee comes from the first class or the most elevated platform to the second class platform to preach. A preacher must be a Madhyamadhikari. And ISKCON is a preaching movement. Now these are the responsibilities that we have as Srila Prabhupada's followers, Srila Prabhupada's committed followers. We have the responsibility to maintain this institution and push it forward. That's the responsibility Srila Prabhupada gave to all his followers. Prabhupada said, just maintain what I gave you. Because if we can maintain successfully, then it will automatically grow. There has been deterioration, there has been difficulties, but if we maintain the spirit, spiritual spirit, then our movement will grow. And it is growing, that's why it's a good sign. Now the consideration is, how can we improve ourselves? How can we improve our relationships? I will honestly admit something, that how we are actually maturing. Previously, I used to come to South Africa, not only South Africa, I used to go to different places. And in classes like this, in occasions like this, I'll have many of my senior, very senior God brothers sit there on the floor, and I would sit in this big asana and very arrogantly give a lecture, thinking that I am... Anyway, I am so and so, and this is... But today, I hesitate to do that. Rather, I feel that they should speak, and I should rather sit there on the floor. Even though I'm coming as a guest, doesn't matter, because they have so much to offer. And I feel thankful to Srila Prabhupada, thankful to Krishna, that he gave me this understanding, gave me this realization. And that's why, and I feel so much better, like sitting, if not say myself sitting on the floor, but at least we are sitting in the same platform. And offering you all the opportunity to listen to these exalted devotees who have served Srila Prabhupada's mission with such commitment and dedication. And I think you also get a message which is much more profound and much more powerful than thousands of hours of lecture. That is, when you see that we all, the senior devotees of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, we have a wonderful loving relationship among ourselves. And this message, I'm sure, is much stronger than any amount of lecture. We are learning, and I'm confident with the passing of time we'll learn even more. And this is how we are going to grow, and this is how our movement is going to become stronger and stronger. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki. Because it's our responsibility also to teach you how you should establish a relationship among yourselves. And the other consideration is the continuity of this wisdom, continuity of Krishna consciousness. We must pass it down to our next generation, because we are not going to be here forever. The anxiety is already becoming quite obviously manifest. Devotees are leaving. Many devotees have already left, and And they have created an incredible void in our movement. Kamal Krishna Maharaj left the planet. Gaur Govinda Maharaj left the planet. Recently Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj left the planet. Sridhar Maharaj left the planet. So many very, very exalted devotees are leaving the planet. So it's a reminder that a time will come, maybe within a few years, 10, 20, 30 years time, very few proper disciples will be left. Now how the movement will continue? We have to create the leaders for the future. We have to train them up. We have to inspire them. We have to encourage them, and we have to prepare them for this very, very important responsibility. We cannot afford to think that, well, those who are leaving the ISKCON and going away, what can we do? Let them go. No. We have to sincerely consider, how can we make ISKCON a place where everybody would like to be and no one will want to leave? Our youth is our greatest asset. Now we also have to consider one thing, that we have to consider that they are young and they will do things, they will make mistakes. But we have to be tolerant with them, and we have to make them feel comfortable in our midst. Even if they make mistakes, our door should be wide open for them to come back whenever they want to come back. And we have to create such a loving and warm and caring atmosphere that even if they leave, very soon they'll come back, because they will not get that in that outside world. Often I consider that there is a difference between us and them. A big difference is that we had gone through our lives, we have seen the world, and we had made our decision to become a devotee. But they didn't get a chance, those who are born in the movement and grew up in the movement, they didn't actually get a chance to decide for themselves. We somehow imposed Krishna consciousness upon them. But we should confidently let them go out, check it out there, decide for themselves, and come back to Krishna consciousness. Well, they will make mistakes. Didn't we make mistakes in our life? Yes, they will fall down. Didn't we fall down? But then we made the decision, and Krishna consciousness is all purifying. No matter how fallen one is, the moment he comes back to Krishna consciousness, he'll become completely purified. So we have to have this confidence upon them, and we have to groom them up, we have to bring them up with that love and care and confidence. So these are, personally I feel that these are two most important considerations for the expansion and sustenance of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the glorious family that Srila Prabhupada has created for us. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Puri Maharaj ki jai. His Grace Vidha Prabhu ki jai. All glories to that single devotee. It seems that there are some questions. Okay, so what we'll do is, there are a few questions, so I'll answer the first one, then I'll pass it to Puri Maharaj to answer the second one. So the first question is, how does the soul attain its spiritual body when it goes to Krishna's planet? How does the soul grow its spiritual body before it goes, when it goes to Krishna's planet? The answer, by practice. And that process that one is meant to practice to attain his spiritual body is called devotional service. Actually, we have two types of material bodies. One is the gross body and the other is the subtle body. And these two bodies are covering our spiritual body. Our spirit soul has its spiritual body. It is there. But because of our forgetfulness of Krishna, we have been covered over with two types of bodies. One is a subtle body. The first covering is that of the subtle body. And the second covering is the covering of the gross body. The gross body is this body, made of earth, water, fire, air and ether. And the subtle body is made of mind, intelligence and false ego. Now liberation means freedom from these bondages of material bodies. Now at some point we become free from the gross body at the time of death. At the time of death we become free from the bondage of the gross body. We become free actually. But the trouble is with the subtle body. The gross body dies, but the subtle body doesn't die. So after death, what happens? The subtle body carries the soul to the next body. And what is the destiny? What is the next body? The next body will be designed or destined by the shape of the subtle body. And the shape of the subtle body is according to one's activities. As we act, whatever we do leaves an imprint in our subtle body. And as a result of that, the subtle body takes the shape. Like as you know, like when somebody acts like an angel or a demigod, then what happens? His subtle body takes the shape of an angel. And then when he leaves his gross body, his subtle body carries the soul to an angelic body. On the other hand, if somebody acts like a pig, what will be the shape of his subtle body? Like that of a pig. And then, when he leaves his gross body, the subtle body that has already taken up the shape of a pig's will be placed by nature's arrangement in the womb of a pig to get an appropriate piggish body. So that is how the nature acts. Now the subtle body doesn't die. Subtle body is almost permanent. But there is only thing, one thing that dissolves the subtle body. Subtle body doesn't die. We don't leave the subtle body all of a sudden. But the subtle body becomes transformed. Or subtle body dissolves. And what is that that dissolves the subtle body? Is Krishna consciousness, devotional service. What is devotional service? Devotional service is to think of Krishna all the time. Man mana bhavo mad bhakto. So subtle body consists of the mind, intelligence and false ego. So when with the mind we constantly think of Krishna, then what happens to the mind? The mind becomes spiritualized. And the material mind gradually dissolves. or become spiritualized. Then intelligence. What is the Sanskrit word for intelligence? Buddhi. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatang priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upajantite. When one becomes constantly engaged in rendering loving devotional service unto me, I give him spiritual intelligence, buddhi yoga, which brings him to me. So intelligence is when you become engaged in devotional service constantly, then our material intelligence, what happens to it? It wears off. And instead, the spiritual intelligence becomes manifest. And when we become engaged in the service of Krishna, then what happens to our identity? What do we become? Who do we become? Jiver swarup hai, Krishner nitya das. So when we accept the position of the servant of Krishna and render devotional service unto him, then our real identity as a devotee, as a servant of Krishna, becomes manifest, and our false identity that I am the Lord and Master disappears. So at that stage, what happens? Does he have a subtle body anymore? No, his subtle body has become spiritualized. That stage is called Swarup Siddhi, perfection of one's spiritual identity. He becomes situated in his spiritual identity. And at that time, he is called Jivan Mukta. Although he is living in his material body, but he is liberated. But as long as the body is there, the body is a gift of material nature, and this body has a certain duration, certain longevity. And we have to stay in this body for that long. So, we have to live in this body, but a devotee continues to render service in his material body, although the body is apparently material. But actually it is not material, the body is spiritualized. In this respect, Prabhupada gives the example of iron rod in fire. When the rod becomes red hot, is it iron or fire? It's fire. So although the pure devotee's body is apparently material, it is not material. It is spiritual. It's spiritualized. But then when the time comes for him to leave the body, he goes back to the pure spirit soul as he is. He goes back to his spiritual sky, to the spiritual sky in his spiritual identity. And that stage is called Bostu Siddhi. There are two types of perfection. One is the perfection of one's spiritual identity, and the other is the perfection of the substance that he is in the spiritual sky. So this is what happens to, so this is how the soul's spiritual body becomes manifest when he goes back to the spiritual sky. It's not going to happen accidentally. We have to work for it. We have to endeavor. And if there is something lacking, if we are not fully purified, Prabhupada said, if you are lacking, Krishna will cover it up at the time of death. If there is 5% or 10% lacking, Krishna will say, okay, bonus. And allow us to go back to the spiritual sky. Hare Krishna. The next question is for His Holiness Puri Maharaj.
When a person is unconscious, where does his soul? That's the most unconscious person in Krishna.
Contact with Srila Prabhupada in the movement, will be actually conscious.
actual consciousness, how do you discover this material nature? So, a mass is what we generally term death, that the soul is a compact of the body, is there. So when we say unconscious, the real unconsciousness of when consciousness is gone in the soul, it's like, but as long as there's still some function, and the soul is still in the combat, the body is still there. So this soul needs, well, the temperature goes down. You're living in an ICU, I've been there well before that. It happened when I got to the bodies, I turned up, and the doctors were just watching everything moving. And even if he was part of the lawyer, Jesus, still there's something wrong with that. Maybe black is on the body. But they have to be sure that everything is actually wrong. So there's actual unconsciousness. The soul is gone. Prior to that, the soul is still there. If the body is dead, the soul, then we feel it. And begins to deteriorate, it becomes small. Good. But I'm not going to be in. You will do your shit, you know. What am I doing? So, Brahman,
you can see.
I'll read it for you. In order for the soul to enjoy independently, the soul is sent to the material realm. However, to enjoy in the material realm, the soul has to perform highest activities to the Supreme. This is a contradiction.
Previous life, we have been in touch with the Son of Man. And to have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, to have come in contact with this one directly, the way in which we have, the way in which we are, we find ourselves today, is the most benefiting thing that you could ever dream about in those 3 months. And for what we were, for what we were planning to do in this material world, it is the biggest boon that we could ever imagine. We get the opportunity to render devotional service and acquire those highest credits. Whether we complete our spiritual journey now, whether we pass it on to our children, whether we get the opportunity to take birth again to find a vision somewhere else. We can't even imagine what that means. Even those devotees that have moved on, who didn't complete, I know that there are so many instances where I know that I've had one wonderful disciple of Bhakti Chiruswami in Brentford, and she revealed to mind that she was Prabhupada's disciple previously, and how, due to an unfortunate road accident, she lost her life, lost his life as a Prabhupada disciple. And Prabhupada, when he heard about that, that person was on the way to Scotland to initiation, he couldn't make the initiation. Prabhupada said, Krishna will benefit that devotee and give that personality another opportunity in a good family. And that good family was an Indian family. That man became a woman. And progressed very nicely nowadays, wonderful disciple of His Holiness of the Church. So like that, we always get the opportunity to carry on, even if there's this thing that happens with the accident or some kind of problem in the evolution. We get good opportunities to serve again and again and again. And this whole thing about city liberation, never to come back home, that's wonderful that we don't have to come back. Great, I never want to come back. But the wonderful, sincere devotees of the Lord do want to come back to help the poor themselves and help those that are still struggling. But the most wonderful thing is that Srila Prabhupada has given us opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. But if we can help as many others and those that are struggling, that is very recognizable by the spiritual monks. Very recognizable. I hope that helps.
There's a fourth question, last question. You spoke of a mother's love as being a close indication of real love. Is this just an analogy? Because I know of fathers who make more sacrifice. Especially to help other children's Krishna consciousness, to help their children's Krishna consciousness. Please comment. Well, naturally, exception proves the rule. So, some fathers are naturally very exemplary. And also, some mothers are not really that loving. It happens, right? We come across. But this is a general statement, and we have to also understand that it was this statement, the mother's love is closest to what real love is in relation to material concept of love. Actually, in the material nature, there is no love. Chaitanya Charitamrita makes it very clear. Whether we like it or not, but the reality is There is no love in the material nature. What goes on in the name of love is actually lust. There are two expressions, prem and kam. The Sanskrit word prem means love and kam means lust. And it has been described, what's the difference between love and lust? Lust is the desire to gratify our senses. The tendency or desire to gratify our senses is called lust. Atmendriyo pritibancha tare boli kam. Krishnendriyo priti icha dhare prem nam.